Begin the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Shor Shel Pikeach. We have the case of a shor of a gadol. He's a ben das shenogach shor shel chereish shote v'katon, and he injured and damaged the shor of someone who is mute and deaf. That's called a chereish. Again, if he's capable of speech, then he's not a chereish. Or of a shota. A shota is discussed in the Gemara at the beginning of Chagiga. There are four simone shtus. These are behavior patterns which reflect or indicate that he's a shota. He sleeps at night in a cemetery. He destroys other people's properties, even his own property, etc., etc. He's a shota. And there's a machlokus in the Gemara there in Chagiga whether he has to exhibit all these simanim to be a shota or one of these simanim to be a shota. In any event, in all these cases, the pikeach is chayav. He has to pay damages to a chayri shota v'kata. The havmina was that maybe he should be potur because the mazik could tell the owner of the shor that maybe they were guilty because they didn't protect their shor. There was a chayri shota v'katan. Or perhaps we could say that this din in the reisha is poshut. It's only an introduction to the seifa. In the seifa, the Mishnah goes on to tell us that v'shal chayri shota v'katan shenogach shor shel pikeach. But in contrast, if the shor was owned by a chayri shota v'katan, potur, there's no chiv to pay damages. In other words, in a case of a short time, we're not going to collect chatzi nezek, and that chatzi nezek is collected, of course, from the gufa shor, migufe, and Bezdin is not going to go down to collect this chatzi nezek from the shor, because the shor is the shor of a chereish shota v'katan. These are not held responsible for their actions. Although, what we're going to have to analyze here is the question of Beis Din and the responsibility of Beis Din to establish an apotropos who will oversee the shmir of nezikin on behalf of chereish shota v'katan, especially in the case of a katan, if he's a yosam and he owns a shor and he has no parents. We're going to need to set up an apotropos who should represent the child. And that representation should also include the laws of damages. But nevertheless, we're not going to be mamet apotropos in order to collect money from the somim, which in this case would be chatzi nezek if it was a short time. We want to appoint an apotropos as an agent to benefit the katan, the yosom, but not to make him pay damages. And the reason for this also is because of the difference between karka and metaltel. When we do collect a chov from yesomim, it's only from karka, it's not from metaltel. That's a Mishnah back on Daf Yudalit Amid Beis. And therefore, in the case of a short time, where we only collect from the shor itself, which is metaltel, we don't collect from the yisomim. Had it been a shor muad, and therefore it's possible to collect monies for nezikin of a shor muad from karka, then Bezdin could go down to the karka of the yisomim and take off a piece in order to pay up the mazik. Now the Mishnah says, in any event, shor shel chayri shot v'katan shen nogach, even though there's no chiyuv to pay damages in this case, because the shor is owned by someone who's not responsible, nevertheless, mamidim lohem apotropos, there will be on the part of Beis Din an appointment of an agent who will oversee this shor. And for what purpose? Again, if we're not going to obligate the chayrish shota v'katan, the owner of the shor, in any liabilities and compensation, so why do we appoint an apotropos? And the answer is, we want to create what's called mu'adus, we want to establish that this shor is a shor mu'at. And in order to do so, where the Torah says as a precondition for mu'adus, for ha'adah, for hu'ad v'ba'olav, we're going to need someone to represent the cheir shot v'katan. That's going to be the apotropos. He's in place of the bailim, because the bailim can't, there won't be any fulfillment, even though physically there, of a hu'ad v'ba'olav. And the person who is in charge of all the estate, if you will, all the possessions of a person who is, in this case, incapable of supervising his own estate, his own possessions, is called the apotropos. We find, for example, that Eliezer was the apotropos of Avram, and he would represent Avram for all dini momentos. Now, the question is whether the power and the authority vested in the apotropos is Dorais or Darabonon. That's a discussion in the Achronim. Now, we have the following case. We said that Beis Din is Mamed apotropos, and why? What's the ultimate goal of this apotropos? Of a kind of a Huad Bibolov, to establish that this Shar is a Shar Muad. And through the apotropos, the shor becomes a shor mu'ad. If the apotropos wasn't an part of our equation, then the shor would remain a shor tam. There would be no possibility of ha'ada. And in the Reish of our Mishnah, we learned that shor shal cheirishot v'kon shenagach potur. And therefore, in the flip side, where instead of the shor of a cheresh being potter, there will be a situation where the shor of a cheresh will become a muad and will be chayav, which means you can collect from the gufo shel shor, and that's going to be through this process of mamidim lemapetropis v'huad bibolav. The apetropis represents the bailim for the purpose of ha'adah. Now, we would think, before we saw the last part of the Mishnah, or I should say the next to the last part of the Mishnah, that if the Shar, or shall we say, when the Shar becomes Shar Muad, because there was a Ha'adu Bifnei Bailam through the apotropos, that now there would be a payment of Nezek Sholet. Why not? We had a Ha'adu process, and if the Cheri Sholet V'Katan have their apotropos, their agent representing them, and therefore the ha'adah was feasible, once it matures with the third negicha, we should be able to collect from the gufo shel shtar. The impression we get from this Mishnah is that even when the shor is owned by a cheir shot v'katan, there is a full liability to pay Nezek Sholem if the Shor is Muad. It became a Muad through this process of Ha'adah three times in the presence of the apotropos. And obviously, Beis Din wants to do whatever it can to keep this Shor in control, because otherwise this Shor is a hazard for society. And that's why they're going to appoint an apotropos to make sure that the process of Ha'adah can take place. Fine. Now what happens? The Mishnah continues, Nispakach ha-cheresh. The cheresh now became a pikeach, which means he started hearing. Nishtape ha-shota. The shota started exhibiting normal behavior pattern as a bendas, and therefore the status, as far as Nezik is concerned, goes back to a regular person. Or Vehigdil Akotin, the Kotin became a Gadol. The Shor had already become a Shor Muad through the agency of the apotropos. Is Chazel Tamuso Divrei Rabbi Meir. That in any of these cases of Cheresh or Shota or Katon, the moment that they become normal, and they have the full status of the law as a ben das, then the shor becomes a shor tam, even though again it was a shor muot. And what that means is that the shor went from one rishus to another rishus. Went from the rishus of the apotropis to the rishus, the new rishus of what used to be a cheri shot of a cotton. And now we start from scratch again. You know, it's like etch a sketch. We have to wipe everything off and start from the beginning because this is a shini rishus. And a shini rishus changes the whole din of the shor, and the shor goes back to what it was from the beginning to be a shor ha shor tam. Of course, the Meiri adds a certain psychological element here that shini rishus becomes a shini mazel, and mazel represents the teva, the nature of the shor in its very essence. And the Nebuki Yosef says that the Yisom have a right to claim that im hayu me'idim al ashor bifneim, after all, there was no ha'adah as a warning in our presence, hayu shomrim olav shmir me'ulav lo yanase mu'ot. So the Nebuki Yosef is saying, since the Yisom have a right to claim that if there would have been a process of order bifneim, right, in their new state, then they would have done whatever they could to prevent the ha'adah. I'm sorry, to prevent the negiach. But that hasn't happened. So we want to have the process of order in their presence as b'nei das. We're going to go back to scratch, to square one. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, arei hu b'chezkaso, the mu'ad remains in his chazaka as a mu'ad, and shini rishus is not mishana. It doesn't change and alter and undermine the din of the shor. The shor has already reached a full-fledged chalos shem mu'ad in the animal, and that chalos shem mu'ad cannot be rescinded by shini rishus. And finally, the Mishnah adds its final clause: shor ha'itz tadin, which is a shor that was trained to gore, like for a bullfight, and then the shor went out and attacked a man, eino chayav misa. There's no chayav misa. And why is that? And the answer is shenemar, because the Torah says, with regard to shor, the shor that attacks a human being, kills a human being, and now has to be put to death, the Torah says, v'chi yigach. And what does that mean, v'chi yigach? The Gemara darshins, v'lo shiagihuhu acherim. If others provoke it and teach it to be a goring ox, then that's not a kium of v'chi yigach. Chazon Ish points out that if this bull was trained to attack man, and if man would provoke the shor, then for sure there's no chiyuv on the part of the shor. The shor was provoked. But we're talking about a case of Lois Garabo. Nobody provoked the shor, but it attacked a man and killed a man as a result of the fact that it was trained to do so. And in such a case, we don't put the shor to death. Now, you can always ask, is there a chiyuv tashlumi nezek? And that's going to be a machlokes rishonim. Let's say, for example, one shor attacks another shor. Is it true? Is it the case that there is tashlumi nezek even if there was no chazor b'tshuva? The Mishnah only addresses the case where this shor ha'itztadin attacks a human being and tragically victimizes the human being. What would be if the shor ha'itztadin attacked another shor, and it's in a state of a shor hamuad? And in such a case, according to some Rishonim at least, there is a chiyuv to pay tashlume nezek. So we have this drosh in the Mishnah of v'nogach v'chiyigach v'lo shiagichuhu achirim. He wasn't trained to instigate by man. There's a chiddush here from the Pinsker Rav, Rabbi Aaron Volkin, who's the author of a sefer called the Zkan Aaron. I didn't know him, but my father knew him, and his son I knew, and his grandson I know. And he wants to say the following, that according to the Rambam in Perek Vav in Iskei Mamon, even if, and this is, well, in order to appreciate his Kiddush in the Rambam, let's go back to the Muki Yosef. The Muki Yosef says that when does this Ptur of the Shor of Einu Chayv Misa apply? That's only if it was Nogeach in this situation, in this scenario where he was being provoked. If afterwards he attacks, then he has to be put to death. Says the Zkan Aaron, and the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that afilu im nogeach shelo bioso mamad potur, meaning that according to the Rambam, you can never put this shor to death, even if it is a murderous shor that killed a man, under no circumstance, because it's already been trained. You've already changed the nature of the shor, and that was trained artificially by man. And therefore, the parasha of Ki Yigach Shoras Ish, etc., may sokel yisokel, a shor doesn't apply. Let's take a look at the sugya itself. The Gemara says, Ha gufa kasha, when you learn the Mishnah carefully, you see a contradiction between the Reish and the Seifa. Amrit, you learned in the Reish, Shor Shal Cheresh Shot V'Katan, She Nogach Shor Shal Pikeach Potur, which means that we don't collect any damages from a Cheresh Shot V'Katan. Alma, we see, Ein Ma'amidim Apotropos L'Tam, Ligvos Migufo. Then in the case of a Shor Tam, at least, we're not going to establish an Apotropos for the purpose of collecting damages from the Guf HaShor. Ema safe, but yet let's look in the safe of the Mishnah. It says Shor Shel Cheresh Shotev Akotin Shen Nogach Bezdim Amidim Apotropos Amidim Lahem Bifnei Apotropos, which lechorit means we set up an apotropos in order to testify in front of the apotropos about the liability of the shor and to collect chatzi nezek. Alma Amidim Lahem Apotropos Latam Ligvos Migufo. That we do have an interest, and Bezdin will in fact appoint this apotropos as the agent to represent Bezdin to collect chatzi nezek b'toras shor hamazik, and that's against the reisha that states clearly that there is no chiyuv of keren tam to pay chatzi nezek in the case of a cheresh shot of a katar. Tosfos here, Dibra Maskel Alma, wants to suggest an answer to this question. Perhaps the Reish is talking about after the Hezek, and the Mishnah has in mind Ein Ma'amidim Apotropos Ligvos Mashek Kvar Hezek, and if the Hezek already took place, then the Mishnah says you can't collect by setting up an Apotropos just for purpose of Gvia. No. That doesn't make any sense. We know logically, pshita, without any havamina to the contrary, that the apotropos has to be the b'shas hezek. It's not an apotropos that's there for hamoda b'din in order to be mechayev. Amar Rava wants to suggest a reconciliation of the reisha and the seifa. In other words, let's go back to the reisha. We do not appoint an apotropos in order to collect from the yisomim Shor Tam Chatzi Nezek. The Sefer says we are Mamed Apotropos Halchiktoni. What the Sefer has in mind is Im Huchzaku Nagchonim. If Bezdin sees that these Shvarim have a propensity to damage, and therefore they have to take the law into their hands and make sure that somebody or other is going to supervise these oxen, is then Mamidim Lapotropis, Mamidim Lahem Bifnei Apotropis, Umashvina Lahu Muad, the Chihad of Anagach Lishalim Me Aliyah. Bezdin wants to establish a mechanism, a process by which we can establish through Eidus that this Shor is indeed a shor hamuad. Again, we're not going to be mechayev the chayv shot of a cotton as bailim to pay for a shor tam, but we want to establish the shor as a shor muad, and then indeed we will collect this chov from the I shouldn't say the apotropos, meaning his own money, but from the monies that the apotropos is in charge of, so that after the shor is nogeah three times, and we were made all of, we had testimony against the shor on three occasions, then from now on there will be a collection min aliyah from Shar Nechasin, from any monies or assets that the Chevish Shotev Katan have in the bank or whatever, and that's the din of Shar Muad in general. And that din of Shar Muad would kick in here. And Tosus points out that even if there hasn't been a Negicha yet, but Bezdin's already seeing that, you know, the Shvarim are misbehaving, they're very wild, they want to be Mamed Apotropos in order to set up a process of Hadah to establish the Shor, if need be, as a Shor Muad. And the Rashba says, Kigon Shoya Shor Muad Bechaye Ha'av Ukshemes Nafal Ifnei Yisomim V'nefach Dino Lios Kitam Mishum Rishus Mishana. So this is a sugi that we haven't gotten up to yet, but we want to mention the Rashba's Chiddush over here, that if the shor became a shor muad during the lifetime of the father, and now after the father's death it fell in the estate and was inherited by these yisomim, these young children, then the din is, because of Rishus Mishana, that the shor goes back to its state of tamus. Nevertheless, it has a chazakah of a naghon, because that chazakah already was established during the lifetime of the father, and therefore there was a chiyuv in the case of the father to pay nezek sholem for his shor as a shor muad. Therefore, Bezdin is going to appoint an apotropos on this shor in order to once again establish that the shor is a shor muad. This shor has a terrible record, and in the past it's been judged and established as a shor muad. Bezdin, during the katnus period, or cheresh, charshus, and shtus period of the bailam of the shor, but again, it's a little bit more simple to talk about the case of ketanim yisomim. Bezdin is going to go out of its way to establish an apotropos, even though the shor now, with the death of the father and the estate of the yosom, shini rishus, is going to be a charta, but Bezdin will do everything in its power to reinstate the original status of the shor as a shor hamuad. And what would be if, for example, the Eidus would come in at one fell swoop, b'pam achas, and they would testify in three negichos that the shor has gored. Now, there is a mandiyomer, if you remember back on Daf Chavdal, called Yehude Gavra, which means that the prerequisite for Hadah is that there be Eidus and a warning of Bezdin to the Baal HaShor between each negicha and negicha, to tell the Baal HaShor to watch his shor. That's called Yehude Gavra. Now, after they testified against him three times and they warned him on three occasions, be careful about this animal, then Nase HaShor Muad, but Imlo, and therefore Imlo Yishmar, if he doesn't watch the shor on the negicha revias Yischayev Nezek Sholem, and therefore we're going to need three negichos bifnei apotropos sholosh pa'amim. So far as the apotropos has to oversee and represent the cherishot v'katan, and the ha'odah now could take place in the presence of the apotropos replacing the original owner, on three such warnings, the shar becomes a shar muad, and we have the yudei gavra. That condition has been filled because the apotropos was one in between each of three negichos. The Meiri says that according to Man Yomer yudei tura, that means even if the shar was nogeah three times, and then testimony came into Beis Din on each one of the three maisim, each one of the three episodes in relationship to this shar, so there was no possibility of giving asra to the Bailim once, twice, and thrice, because all the testimony came in at once. Nevertheless, that's called Yehudei Tura, and that means the shar became a shar muad through the process of simultaneous edus on three negichos. And in addition to the case where which we mentioned earlier, where the father, during the father's lifetime, the shar was already established as a shar muad, we have another possible case where we would be inclined, or shall we say, compelled to be mamet apotropos, to be made on the negichos in front of the apotropos. And that would be the case in which we know that this animal under the yisomim was nogeach three times. We have edus on three different occasions the shar was belligerent and attacked and damaged. And again, all we have now is yisomim to go to claim to. We don't have an apotropos. But although there's no collection, obviously, from the Soma, no process of Hadar, but the Shar is definitely a Naghan. So the Tvei Dinim over here, there's one din in establishing the propensity of the Shar, and there's another din of the Chal Shem Muad in order to collect damages, in this case, Nezek Shalem. You can have a split between these two elements, these two dimensions. You may have the first dimension without the second, in which case you have a shar that's definitely been established through Chazaka three times as a Naghan, but nevertheless the shar, the status of the shar as far as Tashlumei Mammon, still remains that of a shar tam. But that's going to compel, if you will, or motivate Beis Din to set up a mechanism that's going to allow for the shor to become not just a naghan, it is, but a shor muad for the liability of damages. And that's going to be the hamadas apotropos here in our sugya. Now, it's very interesting because back on Daf Lamed Zayin, the Gemara assumes that you can only be mechayev a shor as a muad if you could be mechayev it as a tam. And here we're being mechayev, you know, through this whole other process of the apotropsim, as if it were, or I should say, as a muad, even though it was never a shor tam. It never actually entered into that stage of state of being a shor tam. Here, though, really there is a chiyuf. This is the chiddush of the Ra'ah. The Yisomim, in theory, or the Cheirishota, have to pay damages. The chiyuf is there. There's no possibility of collecting or implementing that chiyuf in the case of the Yisomim. They're not b'nei das, but the chiyuf is there. And that's not similar to the case where you cannot be mechayev a shor muad unless it was a shor tam, because here we could be mechayev it as a shor tam, just that we can't collect it. Now, I wanted to point out that in this sugya, the reason why we can't collect chatzi nezek from shor tam is because Beis Din are not gover mimetaltel in shel yisomim. But in the case of a shor muad, where there's a chiv tashlum in ezikin of nezek sholem from shar nechosim, that's not limited and circumscribed to the gufo shel shor, even Beis Din could be gover tashlum hanezek, and that means nezek sholem mikarka. The din of min aliyah in tashlumei shor muad, which allows to collect from other nechasim, not limited to the shor itself, that expands the scope of collection to include karkos on the gvia, and that will apply through this halacha of hamodas apotropsim. So the law is we're not gover metaltalin from Yisomim, but we are gover karkos when the Yisomim have a chov. The Gemara now wants to clarify what we said before, that a shor mu'ud pays min aliyah. That means shor nechos. Shor nechos not limited to the goof of the shor mazik. Me'aliyas man. The Gemara wants to understand, from the nechosim of whom do we collect this compensation for the nezek that took place? Is it from the nechosim of the yisomim, or perhaps we should collect this from the nechosim apotropsim, because they were appointed to supervise and guard this shor, and yet the hezek happened? And the Gemara now quotes a machlokes amoraim about this issue. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, may alias yisomim, we're going to collect this damage from the property that belongs to the yisomim. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanini, Omer, may alias apitropis, we're going to collect it from the nechosim of the apitropis. Again, you might ask, and we'll see this point later, why would an apitropis become an apitropis if he knows that he's going to be liable for damages? In any event, we're talking about a shor shel yisomim. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, which is the simple approach here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're not going to be mechayev the apotropis, because perhaps, as we said earlier, who would want to become an apotropis? But according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, we don't have to worry about that, because in this case, the apotropis is not going to lose money out of pocket. Again, he may sign a check out of pocket, but he's going to come back and collect his chov from the yisomim, because the apotropis who's paying on behalf of the yisomim will now reimburse him. That's good for the case of ketanim, but let's talk a little bit about chereish v'shota. It's quite possible that in the case of chereish v'shota, there's no time limit at the other end. You know, when will that state ever terminate? It's not like the case of yisomim ketanim. So there'll never be, in theory, chas v'shom, a time in which you can collect a chov from a chereish or a shota. So that this machlokas as to whether or not we appoint an apotropis and the apotropis has to pay first and foremost out of pocket or collecting from the yisomim's aliyah, that doesn't apply in the case of cherish v'shota, because again the whole yisod here of Rabbi Yosef b'Chanin aliyah apotropis, because he can come back and collect from the yisomim when they become gedolim, but that logic doesn't apply in the case of cherish v'shota. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina would have to raise his hands and admit and confess that there's no possibility of collecting from the apotropsim in the case of cherish v'shota. Now the Gemara asks the question, "Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, don't I have a contradictory statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan himself?" V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, Ein nizkakim l'nichse yisomim elim kain ribis ocheles lahem bohen. Here's a tradition that dates back to Rav Asi, that we only collect from nichse yisomim in a case where we have to protect them from loss, further loss. For example, if their father took a halva beribis, again we have to see what's a case of halva beribis in Allah, which is permissible. And as a result, with every day that passes, more and more of the possessions of the father are being taken away and earmarked for tashlum achov to the balchov, to the wealthy guy, we'll call him. Is that's a case of ribis, and we're going to be poreya the chov in order to terminate that hagdolas ribis. Let's say, for example, the father took a halva from a guy, and in that case there was a heter for ribbis. The guy would not lend money without getting ribbis, and the guy's allowed to take ribbis. Is in such a case, now that the father dies, the yisom are losing by the minute, and Beis Din is going to confiscate their possessions in order to be poreah l'chov. And that's a case where we are govim minichsei yisomim, so says Rav Asi. Rav Yochanan Omar, o l'shtar sheyesh bo ribis. The very basic idea, again, a shtar sheyesh bo ribis, where ocheles behem, the possessions and the properties of the yisomim are in jeopardy, because there's a constant taking away or chipping away at the nechasim. O l'ksubas isha, where the halacha is that when the husband dies, as long as the yisomim are able to support their mother, or I should say their father's wife, they have to do so, and the estate will be designated and earmarked for paying the mizonos of the isha, and therefore to pay up the ksuba now would be a great benefit for the yisomim. It makes sense to be gover from the yisomim to pay up the ksuba, because otherwise there's a constant chiyuv mizonos. So pay up the ksuba and ge'endik the mice, and there won't be this albatross around their neck that they have to pay mizonos. So this is called like zachin lo liyodim shol b'fanav. But we see clearly from Rabbi Yochanan that Beis Din is not gonna collect from nichsei yisomim if there's no hefsei to the yisomim. But here Rabbi Yochanan says that we collect from the yisomim in the case of a shara muad, even though there's no continuous kind of loss that's eating away at the nechasim. And yet, nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says that Beis Din should somehow not get involved in nichsei yisomim. But yet, in the case of shara muad, Beis Din will, says Rabbi Yochanan, Beis Din will collect the chov of the shara muad. So Gemara says, epoch, let's turn it around. Rabbi Yochanan Omar mi'alias apitropsin, that you can collect from the apitropis. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Omar, he holds mi'alias yisomim. So now Rabbi Yochanan is l'shitoso, that if there's no hefseid, we're not going to collect from the nichsei yisomim, but rather from the aliyas apotropsin. Omar le, Omar Rava, mishum de kasha de Rabbi Yochanan, Okay, I understand that you want to switch the names around because you have a stira between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan, but look at the impact of what you're saying. Is umashvis le Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina toa? What you're really saying about Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is a big mistake. In other words, it's not a logical position. It's not a tenable position. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina dayanahu v'nachas liyumke didina. Rabbi Yossi was a great scholar. He was a judge, and he went down to the shorish, the root of the understanding of the halach and the mitzvah. How can you attribute to Rabbi Yossi this untenable position that we're going to collect from these somim, the nechosim, even if there's no hefseid for them? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is a great dayan, and he knows the depths and to plummet the depths of the halacha. And now you're accusing him of something that doesn't make any sense. Ella says the Gemara, no, li'olam lo tepach, go back to our original position. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds that you can collect in the case of shara muad from nichsei yisomim, even though it's shalom b'makom hefsid, u'mazik shiny, but it's a separate halacha in mazik. Normally, of course, we would not be yored l'nichsei yisomim to collect monies from them. But Rabbi Yochanan says there's a difference in the case of mazik, because we want to make sure and guarantee that there is shmira on this mazik. And if need be, we'll collect from the yisomim in order to guarantee that this chiyuv shmira be implemented. So what I understand here by mazik shayni Lefiani is Daiti, is the following. There is a tension here in the halacha. Because on the one hand, halacha sees a danger in an animal who's a mazik. And we have to figure out a way in which if a person would be damaged, he would have to be reimbursed. So that Rabbi Yochanan is in a bind here, because as a general rule, he doesn't permit Beis Din to be gover from Nichsei Yisonim. And yet, on the other hand, if that be the case, then we'll never get a shor into a state of shmirah. So we want to appoint an apotropos. But if we are mechayev the apotropos to pay damages, then the apotropos doesn't want to accept that minui. Who would want to be put into that position? So in order to, in a sense, balance all these conflicting needs, we're going to appoint an apotropos. I'm going to tell the apotropos that he is exempt from damages, but we're going to allow the collection of nichsei yesomim ktanim, where we normally wouldn't do, in order to somehow set up an agent that will accept that appointment and guard the animal. That's what I understand here from Tosfos. Now, the Mishnah later on is going to say that if somebody damaged a cheresh, or a shote, or a katan, then the cheresh, shote, or katan doesn't have the ability to collect damages. They don't have that status in Beis Din as a tovea. Now, why don't we appoint an apotropos in order to collect damages in the case of a muad? Once we've seen that Rabbi Yochanan in the case of Mazik has broken all the rules and we're going to collect damages from the Yisomim themselves, why not do it even in the Mishnah later on Pezayin, where the Katan himself was Mazik? No, it's to the same extent that we're afraid of the animal being mazik, and therefore we're going to institute this possibility of being gover for the nichsei yesomim. We should say the same thing when the cheresh shoteh themselves are damaging. Perhaps we could say, but it's dochuk, that in the case of cheresh shoteh v'katan, even the apotropos are not going to help, because they can't watch these cheresh shoteh v'katan constantly, day and night, and stop them from inflicting damages. So the only effect, the only repercussion or gain that you can have from appointing such an apotropos to collect from their funds is to deplete their funds, and that we're not going to do. In any event, now the Gemara tries to explain the root of the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mealias Yisomim. Rabbi Yochanan allows collecting from the Yisomim Diyamet Mealias Apotrophis. And here we're taking a look at Lamed Tesamid Beis Mimnei Velo Avdi. If you collect from the agents of Beis Din, who's going to agree to take that position? Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Omar, Me'alias Apotropos, Vechozim V'nifroim, Min Yisomim L'chi Gadli. The Apotropos will still accept this position, knowing full well that he's going to be able to collect those monies later on. He won't refuse to accept this position, because the Yisomim are required to pay him back, reimburse him for any monies he spent when they become gedolim. Now, you might ask the question, why in this machlokas is almost an assumption, a premise, that the apotropos should be paying? And the answer perhaps is that he was appointed to guard the animal. That's his responsibility to supervise this mazik, this shor. And therefore, it's the apotropos who should be paid, because they didn't live up to their responsibility. But on the other hand, these apotropsim will refuse to accept this job and this appointment, because why do they want to take care of the animals and then thereby incur financial responsibility? But on the other hand, that's going to leave these animals in a state of hefker, and they could wreak havoc on society. So we have to ensure that the animals will be guarded. So Chazal, according to Rabbi Yochanan, imposed upon the apotropsim a moral responsibility, so to speak, to remove this mazik, to ensure that the animals will be shmurim. But on the other hand, they had no choice but to lift the burden of financial responsibility and liability from the shoulders of the apotropis, and they had to place it on that of the yesomim. Again, you'll ask, why the yesomim have to assume any sort of liability or responsibility? Let the damaged party take the loss. And the answer is that Chazal realized that if you allow this to go on and the damaged party will bear the cost, that's going to totally defeat the purpose of an apotropis, of appointing an apotropis. If the apotropis knows that the orphans, these yesomim, stand to lose nothing, they're not going to be so careful in guarding the behemoth. They have the vested interest of the yesomim at heart. But if the apotropis realizes that if he doesn't secure the animal in such a way that it won't damage, that at the end of the day the yesomim are going to suffer loss from that, and he has their interest in mind, that's why he took this job, then he's going to guard the animal with a certain element of, shall we say, vigilance. He'll be very careful to protect the animal. In any event, getting back to our sugya, the Mishnah, in the case of a shartam, reflects the view that Beis Din does not appoint an apotropis that will enable the nizak to collect damages from the gufo shel shor. That's in the case of a shartam. And now the Gemara mentions and analyzes a machlokas tanoim with regard to this matter. The question of whether or not you can collect from the guf hashor in the case of shor tam through the apotropis is machlokas tanoim disanya shor shenis charshu ba'olav v'shenis tatetu bi'olav v'sheholchu ba'olav l'medinas hayam. In all these three cases, we're not able to collect damages from the Bailim, the Mazik, because he's a Cheresh, he's a Shota, he's not around. Is Yehuda ben Nekusa Omar Sumchis? He quotes a halach in the name of Sumchis, Arei Hu B'Tamuso, Ad Shia Idu Bo B'Fnei Bailim, Me'idim Lahem, Ma'amidim Lahem Apetropis, Chachom Omer Ma'amidim Lahem Apetropis, U'me'idim Bahem B'Fnei Apetropis. So this is the Gemara here on the top of Lamites Omid Beis, and according to this tradition, in the name of Sumchus, we have the possibility of Chazar Litamuso. Just 1 second. Harehu Bitamuso. Which means that since the Bailim were Cheresh or Shota, or there's no possibility of being made Bifneim, the status of the animal is that of a Shorta. The Chachonim say that no, we're going to set up an apotropis, and that will facilitate the ability of making that transition from Shortam to Sharmuad, because the Eidus of the Hadar will take place in the presence of the apotropis. Then the Brisa continues, Nispakeach Acheresh Nishtapa Shota V'Higdil HaKotem Bo Bailov Mivdinas Hayam Yehuda Ben Nekoso Amar in the name of Sumchus Chazar Litamuso. Which means that it goes back to the state of Tamus, as if it was a mu'ad. And what does that mean? Ad shia idu bo b'fnei bailu, Rabbi Yossi Amar Rebbe Ches Kosa. So the Bnei Yeshiva asked the following question: Amru, my harei b'tamuso de kamar sumchus. If sumchus in the original Reisha said that there is no ha'od or process to make the shor into a muad, ilem into lomiyai klal, it's not a muad at all. Hamidik tani sefer, the sefer says chazar l'tamuso, that sumchus says it goes back to the state of tamus. Michlal diyai, obviously it did became a shor muad. How do we reconcile that with the statement of Sumchus in the Reisha Reu Bitamuso? Elamaya Reu Bitamuso Arehu Bit Mimuso. The Loma Chasrina Leia means we don't collect from its goof at all. Certainly we are mimed an apotropis in order to make it into a muad, and even Sumchus agrees that, as we saw in the Sefer. Is Alma, we see, Ein Mamina apotropis Latam Ligmos Migufo, that according to Sumchus, we don't collect from the Shartam, and that's what we said, Bitmimus, Harir Bitmimuso, but we only appoint the apotropis to make this transition to a Shar Mu'ud. But as long as it's a Shartam, we don't collect Migufo, V'chachom Omer, Mamidilem Apotropis, Mamidilem Lahem, Bifnei Apotropis. How did the Chachomim disagree, and what point did they arguing against Sumchus? And the answer is that there will be testimony, number one, and that we know to make it into a muad, but even beyond that, you can collect from the Shara Tam as a Tam Migufo. Alma Mamidim Apotropos Latam Ligvos Migufo. And our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Sumchus against the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, I have a support l'chora for this presentation of a machlokes between Sumchus and the Chachamim, v'seifa b'may pligi. And what about the second machlokes, which is recorded in the seifa of this braisa, whether or not the shor is chozil tamuso or nishar b'chezkoso? Is Gemara says, what's the machlokes? Rishus mishana ika beinayhu. Sumchus of Rishus Mishana, Rav Yossi of Rishus Eina Mishana. According to Sumchus, there's a new halacha called Rishus Mishana, that if a Shor Muad now is passed on to a new Rishus and somebody else takes it over, now he owns the Shor, it goes back to its original state of Tamus, and it's a Shor Tam according to Sumchus. We start a new slate. Rabbi Yossi Sova Rishus Eino Mishana. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, is of the opinion that look, the Shor has been established as a Ta, as a Muad, and it remains a Muad. And it would seem that the Yisod of this Machlokas is, how do you understand the Chal Shei Muad? Is the Chal Shei Muad in the animal itself, betoch gufo shel ashor, and if it doesn't matter whether it's in one rishus or another rishus, or no, it relates to the bailim of the shor, and even if it's a shor muad legabi one bailim, it still is a shor tam legabi a second bailim. And this leads us up to the brisa of shor shel cheresh, which Emir Hashem Bli Neder will pick up in tomorrow's shiur.